As we look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, all right? Are you ready? Because here's what he says we are. He says, you. I want you to take that personally, okay? But you are a chosen generation. He chose you. A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You are kings, royal, and priests. You're kings and priests. Wow. You're kind of feeling bad about yourself today. Guess what? You are kings and priests. A holy nation. His own special people. The old King James says peculiar. But that was back when the English word peculiar meant special and unique. Now too much it means odd, but we could still use that word because to the world we're going to seem odd. But you're special. It means unique, valuable people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you. Of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, bless the reading of your word and open up our hearts, Lord, down to the deepest part of us, Lord, that we may know you and that, Lord, we may receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to tell you, God is calling us out. Yeah, you know, we do that nowadays. So I'm calling you out. They're talking again about the different, the ALS, you know, remember that? Remember we did that last year? The plunge, you know, the ice bucket challenge, the plunge. And they started that, and I'm like, man, I started seeing people from Hartville, you know, like on social media doing this. They're showing it, you know, and it's like in the wintertime, it's 20 degrees. We had a cool winter, did we not? Cold winter last year. And I see people that I know on there doing this, and they're calling other people out. And I thought, it's just a matter of time that somebody calls me out, and then everybody's going to see it. Now I'm going to have to do it, right? Sure enough, I got called out, so I called some other people out. And sometimes we get called out on stuff. But what I want you to know that you take that whole thought and God is calling you out. He's calling you out. And it's an awesome calling. It's an awesome calling. And we are the called and we need to live our life like it. Because see, it's one thing to come together as a local church. It's one thing, and I didn't know everything that God put on Caleb's heart to say earlier about worship, but I feel like sometimes we come here, we go through it, we just go through the motions, and there's no passion, there's no fire, there's nothing rising up within us. We didn't come expecting anything. We didn't bring anything with us. We're just checking it off the list. We're doing a duty. And remember from last week, God wants us to be filled with desire a whole lot more than duty. I mean, it's a whole different motivation, isn't it? I mean, because I'm afraid that the people out there in this corrupt world that we live in, they look at us and they hear us talking about a lot of stuff, but they don't see us doing much. They hear us talking about all these things that we're against, but they don't really see that our lives are a lot different than theirs. They hear us talking about the Lord, but they don't see a passion and a love for souls. They don't see holiness. There's a lot of things they're not seeing. They may be hearing, but they're not even hearing it from some of us. But it's one thing to just gather as a church, sing songs, give a little offering, listen to a sermon, see other people, go home. But it's another thing to actually fulfill the purpose of God that he has for all this, to fulfill this. It's one thing to attend church services. It's another thing to be the church. Amen? All right, you can feel free to say amen. That's a good Bible word. It's two words. I just love these two words because you go back in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the Latin, in the English, in the Spanish. I don't care. They don't ever translate these words. They transliterate them. They just take them through to the next thing. Amen is one of them. Amen. And guess what another one is? Never hardly, sometimes, but rarely translated. Another one is hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Hebrew for praise the Lord. I've got a crawler coming right on up to the altar. If you need to come to the altar while I'm preaching, feel free to get up and do that. Amen. Or if you need to crawl, you can just get on your hands and knees and crawl. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So why am I here? I started to title this message, "What in the World Are We Here For?" What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? I don't know. We could keep going with that. You could help me. But anyway, you get the idea. You get the idea. What did God have in mind when he instructed us in his word in Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? I mean, we come together like this. What did he really have in mind? I mean, what does it mean that to not only be saved with my name written in heaven, but also to be a functioning member of the body of Christ? I want to know about that. Because see, if I'm made by him, he's my creator, he's my designer, you know what that means? He designed me for himself. He designed you for himself. We're never going to find fulfillment. We're never going to find everything we need to find until we find it in him. You know what? We try to do our very best. We try to do our very best everything we do, whether it's Bible study, whether it's prayer meeting, Sunday school, and I got an announcement about Sunday school I need to make. Don't let me forget before we leave later. But it's a great opportunity for Bible study. I don't know if you know this or not, but our D6 material, or some of our adult classes are connected with what the kids are studying. You bring your kids, and you're going to not only study the same things, you're going to get helpful hints of how you can. Here's what we're concerned about. You know what we're really concerned about? Really so concerned that what we're doing here is not having any impact out there. That what we're doing and talking about and studying in here is not being carried home with us. That's one thing we're worried about. But right here in our Sunday school literature is built in some elements to help you discuss with your kids what you guys have all been studying at home, to talk about it at home. If you just do that a little bit, I'm telling you what, it's going to change your lives. I promise you, it will. It will. But we can do all that. We can try to do the very best we can do, and we should. We should do our very best. But listen, I'm telling you what, we can learn to do church a certain way when God's not so much interested in how you do church. He's interested in when we be the church. God's more interested in who we are than just what we're doing. As his church, he's the one who purchased it with his own blood. He's the owner. He's the Savior. Amen. He's the Redeemer. He's the Lord. He's the Master. It's not just about, oh man, I'm going to tell you what, because God's put this on my heart, I'm going to say some things that you don't need to miss. I really believe that today. I'm going to say some things that God has for you today, and I want you to get it down. I don't want you to miss it, because one of the things is this right here. Is that it's not just about you going to heaven. You being a Christian isn't just about you going to heaven. You being a Christian is about much more than that. It's about you being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what it's about. It's more than just, I mean, you going to heaven. That's icing on the cake. It's about right here, right now, what God wants to do in your life. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected, victorious over the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. Then he ascended back into heaven. He's seated at the Father's right hand, and guess what? He's coming back. He's going to return. It could be today. He's coming back. But what are we supposed to do in the meantime? You know, I think the early church really thought that Jesus was going to come back during their lifetime, and this thing was going to be wrapped up. But they were wrong. And God's timing is a little different than ours. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just as sure as you're breathing air right now, it's going to happen. But in that space of time, from the time that he ascended until the time that he comes back, what are we supposed to be doing meanwhile back on planet Earth? I mean, right now in his presence in heaven, the saints that have gone before us are there. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. That they're there in perfect, I mean, we can't even imagine what they're enjoying. You think about the best day in the most beautiful place that you could imagine, having the most fun you ever had. And, you know, I can remember, you know, a day or two just being awesome, and you think, oh, this is a perfect day, perfect weather, perfect everything. And it's like, man, I wish this day would never end. You ever say that? You ever say, boy, I wish this day would, but it did. In fact, it starts stealing some of the joy from that day. I think about what all I got to do tomorrow, you know. But one of these days will be in a day that blow that day out of the water, and it will never end. The sun will never set. they're around God's throne. They're praising God. They're thanking God. They're serving God. They're enjoying all the things God has for them. The angels are praising God and in his presence. But meanwhile, back on planet Earth, oh, man, we just kind of grinding it out, aren't we? We're just kind of trying to get through. I mean, we got to do what we've got to do, right? But then it just gets all kind of closing in on you. I don't know. We just kind of begin to lose our fire. We begin just to get, we're just kind of mindlessly going through the motions. The clock is ticking, folks. It's ticking. I mean, I really realize this. I'm back home in my hometown of Rosebud and then Searcy. I saw people at this funeral that I hadn't seen in 30 years. Hadn't seen them in 30, 31, 32 years. Hadn't seen them. Standing in line at visitation, there's a guy in front of me. And I'm like, you know, you kind of look familiar. Do I know you? And he's like, yeah, you know me. And told me his name. And I'm like, wow. And I said under my breath, boy, he's gotten old. Whew. It was very depressing to me to see how old everybody, my age and a little bit younger, is getting. And I think, Lord, is this happening to me? Is it? I mean, I hadn't seen them in a long time. It was a shock. But I see me most days. Some days I don't look, but most days I do. So I guess I don't notice it as much. But it reminds me the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. I want to maximize my time for the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? We don't have much of it. But I don't want to lose, no matter what happens, the ups, the downs, the ins, the out, the struggles, the times when you got to work overtime, times when you're laid off, all this time, God has a plan, God has a purpose. How can I find that? How can I fulfill that? It's not just about me doing something after all. Remember, it's about me being someone that he wants me to be. But here's what I remember. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, get this. You, if you're saved, and I, we, those all around, those who are saved, are the only visible representations of Christ on earth. We are. Jesus ascended back to the Father's right hand. He was here in bodily form, but he's there. Although his presence fills the whole universe, you know what I'm talking about. Then he said, though, I've got a promise. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another comforter or helper. Another helper. And then the Greek is very important there too, because it's the word allos and not heteros, because it means another of the same kind. Another just like me. Second, third person of the Trinity now, the Holy Spirit. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you. Just like I've been, Jesus, I've been with you, but he's going to be with you and in you. This is going to be better. You're going to miss me. But see, the Holy Spirit is invisible. So how are they going to know? How are they going to see him? We can build big old buildings and put big old crosses on them. That's not it. God said, I'm not going to inhabit. See, in the old days, he inhabited the tabernacle and the law, and all of that was part of the process of teaching our need of a Savior. It was all part of the process, but Jesus said that he came to fulfill every bit of that. There's no need for a temple now. There's no need for blood sacrifices now, because Jesus came and he was the ultimate. All of those pointed to him. But now he's decided that he inhabits his people. His presence is in us. Now his presence in one sense fills the universe, but his particular presence is in us. So if people are going to feel God and they're going to feel the presence of God, it's got to happen in us and it's got to happen through us. You ever come to church and say, boy, I just don't feel God's presence. Well, guess what? What are you doing? It's up to you. You're supposed to bring God's presence with you. You don't come here to meet up with it. You should bring. If you're not bringing the presence of God with you, the chances are very small you're going to tune into the presence of God when you get here. God inhabits his people. We are the visible representation of the kingdom of God in this world. That's our calling. The word church, as I said, means what? What? The called out. Called out. That's our calling. God has called us out of this world, as we read earlier, out of the kingdom of darkness, out of being lost, and into his kingdom of light, into the body of Christ. We, those who are saved, right here and right now are the only ones that he is using to call the people of our generation out of this culture of decay and into the body of Christ. Right here, right now, we're the only ones. All those who are saved. Angels aren't walking around out there telling people about Jesus and trying to live and set a good example. I mean, there's angels all around us, but we can't see them either. Although I wonder, one time I was stranded on a road and you don't hear that story. Everybody's got an angel story. And I do too. But anyway, that's another sermon. By the way, good friend, Rob Morgan's new book, Angel Answer Book, just came out. Got my copy. Get on Randall House or Amazon.com. Robert Morgan, get it. It's great. It's great. And I may do some lessons. Okay, back to the sermon. Here's the neat thing. God has chosen. Oh, this is great. He's not only chosen, but he's called. Sinful, imperfect people who have come to him for redemption to be the ones that he uses to call other people out. Hey, there's hope for us. God always uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to do his perfect will. Hallelujah. So what's the purpose of the church? Body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, and when I ask you to bookmark that, this is the birth of the church. This is when it all started. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper. This promise is going to change everything. They couldn't even see it coming. They didn't understand it even from Old Testament prophecy, although it was there, and he told them this is fulfilling what was said for one by the prophet Joel, but among others. But in Acts chapter 2, as they're gathered there, they're waiting. Jesus has ascended. There was a mighty rushing wind. And here's what happened, is the very presence of God himself filled every one of them. Now, we want to focus on just a few aspects of that, about the fire, or about how everybody spoke in languages they had not learned. And the amazing thing about that was everybody there heard the gospel in their own language. At least there in Acts, they were speaking languages that were known to people, and they heard this. Powerful. I mean, it was all about God's word going out. There was miraculous signs. This is not normal. God's power was revealed. No one there could just say, even the ones that tried to pass it off and say, oh, listen at them babbling, they're drunk. No, they weren't drunk. And Peter took that argument up. It's early in the day. And besides, there's people from everyone that was there were hearing the gospel. And so God has given these great signs. And then the big thing that happened that day was this. It's what always happens. It's what God always leads us to. One of the disciples, Simon Peter, stands up. He proclaims the word of God. He proclaims the word of God. And everything is just so powerful because our purpose is even outlined right here. And I see it. I want to look at this story for just a moment. Will you look there? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Because now we're going to see how he called them. He called them out. He called them out into salvation. Because he's been preaching, he's been declaring the gospel to all of these people. God has already given the sign of his presence, and people are hearing the gospel, but now he stands up as a spokesman for everybody, and he begins to tell it like it is. And he told the gospel. And it says in verse 36, he says, therefore, of Acts chapter 2, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said to them, repent and let every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the promise. It doesn't matter if you're far off or near. This is God's intent. And all the way through is to bring. See, here's the thing. Oh, man, I ain't got time to get off on this, but you need to know about it. I mean, this is incredible. This was always God's plan, is to bring everybody back into one through Christ. Wow. Paul talks about this in Ephesians. The Bible's not boring. It's exciting. In Ephesians, where he talks about he broke down that dividing wall. He broke it. You know, God singled out Abraham. God singled out the family of David. God singled out the Jews. Through them, the Messiah came. But God did that just to bring him in. God's purpose wasn't to divide, but to bring together. That all things will be brought together in Christ. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what ethnicity that you are of, that God brings us. We're one body. We're one family. When mankind rose up against God to rebel against God in the beginning at the Tower of Babel, that's when they became a bunch of babblers. Remember? That's why it's called that. Because God came down and he confused their languages and they couldn't understand each other. People couldn't understand each other. They all kind of went off their different directions in little groups. And so then different things begin to happen there. But now, guess what? Some of those people, they turned their back on God. Some of those people, the knowledge of God that they had didn't get passed on. And so you have a lot of heathen generations rising up in different places in the world after that. But now, God has done this thing, and everybody's hearing the gospel, and God is giving this sign and showing us that he's bringing everybody back together. They're hearing the gospel in their own language, and God is calling them. God is calling them. But look at the call. He says in verse 40, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." God is calling us out of this messed up, sin-cursed, warped, twisted, and perverse generation and into his eternal kingdom. See, be saved. It has to do with salvation, because this world and everyone who is not redeemed one day will be destroyed by the judgment of a holy and righteous God. So God is calling us out. Do you want to be in that? God is calling us out into his kingdom. He's calling us out of this world into his kingdom. And it says Peter is testifying and exhorting the people about this. Well, to testify means to bear witness. And the word here is in a form that adds intensity to it. He's bearing witness to the ancient scriptures that he had. He's bearing witness to what he saw and what he heard as he was with Jesus. He's bearing witness of what's happened in his own life and the transformation that's happened. He is bearing witness. Do we bear witness? You are bearing witness, by the way. That's what it means when you testify. You're a witness, right? Who's called to testify? A witness. You are a good witness or a bad witness, but I promise you people out there are catching the vibe of what you say and what you do. They are. He was testifying. It says, and exhorting. Now, the word used here for exhort indicates he was calling them. He's calling them. He's urging them. He's beseeching them to be saved. Which, to be saved, has to do with deliverance, right? When you're saved from something, that means you're delivered. Jesus is our deliverer. To be delivered from what? From this perverse generation. I think the old King James says this untoward generation. Untoward. We don't say that anymore. The word that's translated there is the Greek word scolios. We get the word, in our day, scoliosis from it, which is an unnatural curvature of the spine. And I know there's some of you I've prayed over and with who have that. It's an unnatural curvature of the spine. So the word has its root in this, that this generation, this culture in which we live, it was the same then, it's the same now. Hey, we got the same, they dealt with the same type of stuff you do. It's warped. It's twisted. It's crooked. It's perverted. You need to be saved from it, because even though they don't know it, they're going down. They're going down. They're going down. But God has given his own son, just like the illustration from the skit guys earlier about the birdcage. God's given it all to save us out of that, to come into his ark to be saved. That's why we need to exhort, folks. That's why we need to testify. Because we've all got people we love who are still lost and part of that. And it says those who answered the call. That is the next verse, verse 41, those who gladly received his word. They answered the call. God is calling. The question is, will you answer? Will you pick up the phone and answer? God is calling. Will you hear it? Will you receive it? These are the ones who were, verse 37, remember they were cut to the heart. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But see, a lot of times we've got to be willing to receive. We've got to open up our heart before we're going to get cut to the heart. But I need to be cut to the heart. I can see that at times and sometimes not see that. Because there have been times, just like even this week, I spoke to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and I had an opportunity to share the gospel. And I could see people who were so cut to the heart, it was visible on their face. And people who came out afterwards, and I hugged them, and they were hot and sweaty, and said God was dealing with their heart. Some of them I've talked to since. There were some people there that weren't walking with God, that God got to them. I saw that. Then I saw people there who might as well have been a million miles away. I see it like that week in and week out, by the way. I mean, I can't always judge by outside what's going on inside, but let's just be honest. There are times preaching the word, people are cut to the heart. God does miraculous things. But then I see people actually leave this building and walk by me. They're nice and so forth. And it might be you, it might not be you. I'm not saying who. But anyway, the lips stuck out. They're just not happy. They just didn't hear anything from God at all. And what they did hear, they weren't particularly fond of. But then someone else, God's really got a hold of. And so, you know, I always want to say, well, I must have done a bad job and all this. But anyway, sometimes that might be true. But don't say amen. But anyway, but a lot of times it has to do with us, just like worship. If we've come with the heart of worship or if we've come to do our thing, see? But they were cut to the heart. That means they received the word. The ones who received the word are the ones who were cut to the heart. That's a thing that we've got to have. I need to pray, Lord, cut to my heart. And that's one of the things, Caleb, you talked about the encounter. That's one of the things that happens there. Yeah. that's one of the things that happened there. I think I just got an amen. Did you hear that? Is that you get yourself in an environment and in a situation and put yourself in a position, if you are receptive at all, the barriers begin to break down and finally it comes out. I watched several that, you know, this is good, this is all right. You know, this guy I brought really needed this. You know what I'm saying? But then by Saturday afternoon, they're up there pouring their hearts out because the Lord finally broke through some things. Amen? Some of you can testify to it. And that's what we got to do. And that's what's happening here. So they received the word. We must be willing to receive. This means, listen. Sometimes we need to quit focusing on achieving and focus on receiving. Stop trying to achieve and start receiving, because you're never going to achieve until you receive. It starts by receiving it from Him. You're not earning your way. I mean, the only thing that I have, listen, the only thing that I have to give is what I've received. There's nothing in me, believe me, that's worth having. The only thing that I can give out to others is what God has given me that I've received from Him. And so they had received the word. I think that's very powerful the way it says that. Got to be before you can do. Amen. As proof of their faith and of their repentance, as they acknowledge themselves to be a sinner, they acknowledge the truth of the word of God, they turn to Him and taking ownership of it. That's part of what's involved in repentance. They were baptized. And if you know anything about the context, you're going to know that as they were baptized, it was a public testimony. It was a public acting out of their faith in Jesus Christ, that they were identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They were also, watch this, they were identifying with all the other people who had been baptized, because after all, the Greek word baptizo, that the word baptized comes from, literally means to identify. In fact, it was used in classical Greek literature when they would take a piece of wool and dip it into a dye, and the wool was changed. It was identified with it. I mean, what that dye was identified with that wool because the wool looked like it. Okay? Are you following me here? You're identifying yourself by faith with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And by the way, that's why we practice baptism by immersion. I think it sounds like that's the way they did it, but besides that, it's the best picture of identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And when I bury something, I don't just throw a little dirt on it. I put it under the dirt, okay? That's why, you know, I'm not saying that your baptism is not valid or anything, but I'm just saying if it was by another method, you might think about this because it would be a great blessing for you. It would be a great testimony for you. It would be a great act of faith for you. It in and of itself is not what saves you, but what it represents does. If you put your faith in that. So they're doing this. Here's another thing. As they were identifying with each other and they're identifying with Christ, many of them were rejected by their families who didn't receive Christ. Think yourself as a Jew living there and you receive Christ and you identify with him and his people. Hey, I want to tell you something. Many people lost their jobs. Many people lost their homes. Many people lost their inheritance right here. That's why you find the ministry aspect of this kicking in as they were taking care of each other and feeding one another because some of them lost everything when they received Christ that day. Now, the early Christians, and when they wrote this and when they were first reading what Luke wrote here in the book of Acts, they knew all of that context. And if you don't do your homework, you won't know it, but you can know it because I just told you. That's what's going on here. They're taking a big stand for Christ. And so it denotes the unity and fellowship in the body of Christ, baptism does. Because did he not say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says that we are baptized. We are all who are saved are baptized by the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one doing the baptizing in a symbolic way. That we are all baptized by one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, into one body. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body. That is, the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, comes into your heart, he places you in the body of Christ. One body. And so there's a unity, there's a fellowship. Now look at what's mentioned in verse 42. Are you there? It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. I like that, don't you? They continued steadfastly. Did you know, since we're doing a little digging here, that in the original text, the Greek text, that is one word, continued steadfastly, one word. It is a word that means perseverance. It denotes constant diligence. It means devotion. They were devoted. Are you devoted? You got to devote yourself. I mean, this is one thing that happened as they were filled with the Spirit, as they received the word, is they got devoted. They continued steadfast. It wasn't easy. There were struggles. There were ups. There were downs. But they were devoted. That's why we need to have devotions. It means every day you need to spend a little time that you devote to God. Are you devoted? All right. They continued steadfastly in their teaching. The doctrine, by the way, that's the word doctrine. If you say, I don't believe in doctrine, you've just said, I don't believe in teaching. But I know some people get like teachings that are minor and they focus on those and they forget the major teachings and they want to argue about and squabble about things. Sometimes the people who know the least are the ones that want to argue the most. Did you know that? I don't want to get tied up with that. I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Amen. Have you noticed? I mean, how the devil has found ways to divide Christians over some things that really aren't that super important, but we take them and try to make them important and then we forget the really important stuff. Are you with me with any of this? Yeah, but they continued in the apostles' teaching. You got to be devoted to the teaching. You got to keep learning. It said, in their fellowship, they continue steadfastly in fellowship. I see it illustrated in verses 44 and 45 as they were together. They had all things in common. That word koinonia, that means to be in common, to have things together, to share. We're sharing our hearts. We're sharing our lives. A fellowship is very important. As Christians, we're not just called to believe. We're called to belong. And if you say, well, I'm okay just off by myself, I'm sorry, you're part of a body. How are you going to amputate yourself? You're called to belong, not just believe. And then they continued steadfastly. They were devoted to worship and prayer. I like this because not only did they continue in all these things, they continued something else. It had a continuing effect on people. You know, fear came upon people. And they gained favor with all the people. It had an effect. I'm just telling you, if we're the church and we're fulfilling the purpose like we ought to be, it's going to have an effect on the people around us. And it's not going to have something we got to manipulate. It's something that's automatic and powerful because it's not us, it's God. I love the way that as we talked about, you said, love, it becomes a verb. That's the important thing that we got to see now, is the noun becomes a verb. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He turns the noun into a verb. God, because of the great love wherewith he loved you. Love, noun, becomes the love, verb. He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son. Their love became acts of loving kindness to each other as they took care of each other. If you read on down, they sold possessions. They took care of one another. Did you see that? It doesn't mean they turned into communists or living in some commune, but it means that they did take care of each other because some people lost everything. You got that? And then the faith, receive his grace by faith. The faith becomes, with the power of the Holy Spirit, faithfulness as he empowers us to live out the things that we are taught. And so they had an effect on people around them. And then they gathered together. They continued to gather together. Did you see this? It says down in verse 46, they continued daily with one accord. That means unity. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did you get that? That the early church in day one, they're meeting in large groups and the temple was still standing. It's gone now. But you know what? That was a great place to gather and it was available, so they used it. They gathered in large group, but they also gathered in small group, house to house. And they were breaking bread, not just sharing food, but breaking bread symbolic of communion. They were sharing communion. They were remembering Christ's death till he comes. And they were sharing intense fellowship. And they were sharing Bible study. And so I think that's a good pattern for us today, that we meet together in the large group, and you should. And we meet together, and if you're not doing this, you need to get involved with a small group, with a smaller group of believers. And we're perfectly already set up for that with Sunday school. And we have small groups on Wednesday nights. We have different small group Bible studies that we start from time to time. And so large group, small group, that's part of what they were doing. I got to finish this message. Wow. I didn't realize time had got away from me. You must not be listening very fast. So anyway, but they did all of this, and their lives were in the proper perspective. It says they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They had the right perspective on everything. They didn't try to make things too complicated. And their lives were positive. And guess what? Their lives were positive. We're going around talking about how bad everybody was treating them, and their lives were positive. God wants some positive people. If you're infected with negativity today, God wants to operate on you. And they had an impact. Verse 47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people. People had to admit something was going on. They continued also to share the word of God by word and by deed, and they evangelized. The good news was spread. The gospel spread by the power of God as God added to the church. We see that. We see all these things happening. Let's outline it before we close, okay? We have the purpose of the church. It's the same thing that Jesus said. There's two great statements Jesus made, and in them you see the exact things that they're doing here. Are you ready for it? You know this. We've talked about it many times. Two great statements. We have the great commandment and the great commission. Two great statements. The great commandment. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 22:37. Said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with everything in you. Worship. 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 You love God? Is the noun becoming a verb? Is it showing? Okay. Then he says, and this is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ministry. Serving. Acts of love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, then there's the second great statement, the great commission. Remember that? The great commission. Before Jesus ascended, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The word nations there is the Greek word ethnos, of all ethnic groups. Not just geographical. It's speaking of ethnic, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why we do that, by the way. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. So you got all these things here. These are our purposes. I want you to get this down. These are our purposes. And we've gone over this before. And if you come from somewhere else, you've probably seen this, because this is just biblical. Because you see it there. You see it right here where we read in Acts chapter 2. Worship. They were continuing into worship together We're to worship. That's one of our purposes. Purpose we exist and the purpose we come together and we meet in large group and small groups is to worship God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. They were worshiping God openly, unashamedly. Ministry, love your neighbor as yourself. They were taking care of each other's needs and they were showing love to those who were on the outside and they gained favor with them. This is something we're going to focus on in the weeks ahead is how are we making an impact on people out there who don't believe? How are we making an impact on our brothers and sisters who do believe that have need? Our country's all messed up on this anyway. Where's the church? We're supposed to be setting the example of loving the neighbor. Hey, doing kind things to people who do mean things to us. Holy Spirit, help us do that. Then there's discipleship. They continued in the apostles' teaching, right? Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things. Part of our purpose is teaching and instruction and discipleship. Okay? That's a purpose. Fellowship. Fellowship. They continued in the apostles' fellowship. Remember Acts chapter 2? They were baptized, and we're baptized into one body. Baptism indicates our fellowship. Fellowship is one of our purposes as we come together and we begin to share lives. And many of us, I'll tell you what, many of you, you've got protrusions where I've got indentations and vice versa. I mean, you know what, there's some things that stick out from your life that bug me. And there's some things that are lacking in my life that bug you and things. You know what I'm saying? But it's like a puzzle. A puzzle piece has both indentations and protrusions, but they fit together to form a beautiful picture. Right? Yeah. And when we learn to be big enough to work through those, that's when God paints a beautiful picture. Fellowship is so important. We got to learn to love each other. Got to learn to forgive each other. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, one of the things is, Father, forgive us our sins and our debts or whatever you want to call it, as we forgive those that sin against us. Then the only comment he made about the model prayer was when he said, if you're not willing to forgive someone else, God's not going to forgive you. And he said that because he knew we would have to put it into practice. It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, if you hang around me long, something's going to happen. And you're going to have to exercise this. Lord, help me forgive him, okay? I'm just telling you. It's important. Part of the fellowship. And then evangelism. That's another one of our purposes. Where he said, go. Go. Go spread the gospel. Where it says the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. God added. As we are faithful, God will make us fruitful. God wants us both faithful and fruitful. And as we're that, and we're doing these things, we're worshiping. See, sometimes we focus on one or the other and neglect the others. But we got to balance this. And as we're ministering, as we're teaching, as we're fellowshipping, as we're evangelizing, God is going to add to the church. God is going to add. We don't add, God adds. I don't know about you, but I want to put myself in a position to live out the life of the called of God. Pray with me, Father.